September 1st, 2016, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show. Here in Pedro on a Thursday, first Thursday of September. Brother Matt adjusting his sketch. He's got an old one coming back. I'm going to be able to do shows with him soon. But also, tour is coming up, so I think it'll be November when me and Brother Matt will be doing things again, regular. Till then, I'm not alone, because via the magic of Skype, all the way from Topanga Canyon, Philip Golden from Chinese Herbal Medicine. Welcome aboard. Well, I should say what we started the show off. Yeah, Olay. John Coltrane with Eric Dolphy joining the band there. Live at the Village Gate in 1961. Village Gate now, I think, is called Poisson La Rouge. Poisson Rouge. Redfish. Got to play there a few times. After that, we had Chinese Herbal Medicine with Thyroid. Phil,
Thyroid. That started it. That what started, do you remember? That's the one that started it up with all the
Well, I picked thyroid parts. Because I have a hurt throat from these four gigs up north. I blew it out, and I also got a sickness at the same time.
Oh, man.
You know, when your lymph gland swell up under your goiter, in your throat?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. It's getting better.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's first weekend I have. Off maybe all year. I picked thyroid because that was the closest place to the throat and where I was feeling. I want to ask you, what's your earliest musical memory?
Oh, it's, you know, my dad, when he was a kid, played the clarinet, but by the time I got to know him, he wasn't playing anything, but he just had a hell of a vinyl collection. And the earliest stuff was the Who. It was Who's Next. He used to play that all the time. And Elton John, and I would just listen to those records all the time.
Yeah, but what about the clarinet? Oh, you mean he used to make music when he was younger, but he stopped.
He did. But and you then know, he never did. I never did see him play. He had quit by the time I, you know,
yeah,
by the time
it
I
sounds was like his taste kind of changed too, because it doesn't sound like clarinet records when you say the Who. Although there is some French horn there.
Oh yeah, with that whistle. But he, right. my dad was all about classical music.
What do you remember? You remember seeing his clarinet in the house?
He had it up in the closet, and I played it.
One of them little cases, so it's like in different sections, parts.
It was all in this one box, and then when I was in fifth grade, we did band, you know, at school. And my dad said, "I got a clarinet. You play clarinet." So I played the clarinet for a year.
No, I can relate because I got put on the clarinet in seventh grade. I didn't even know what it was. I wanted to play saxophone. With 100 other people, there wasn't enough, so... And it was trippy.
Hard.
It was hard, right? I got 10 weeks, and the music teacher told me, "Mr. Watt, you try hard, but..." So anyway, it's not only his clarinet, though, you remember his records.
Oh, yeah, man, he had a huge collection, and, you know, that's when I started.
So what are we talking about, time frame and location?
Well, I was born in the very end of 1968, and I was in. And my first memories are in the valley at my parents' house, where they still live all these years later.
Yeah. Okay, so you're California all the way.
Yeah, I left for a little while after I got married. After I left San Francisco, I lived in Portland, Oregon, for 5 years, and then came back.
Oh, we're getting ahead though. We got to get way back to Little Boy Land when your pop says, "I want you on clarinet the school band, son."
Yeah, that's what he did. I think, I can't remember what I wanted to play, but it was something else.
But Phil, was that your first instrument ever you tried to play?
That was it, and I didn't like it that much. And I didn't play again until I was 15, 16 years old when I picked up the guitar.
Okay, now how'd that happen?
Well, that's a good story. So all my friends and I, we were really into the Clash, you know. That was the thing.
It's like junior high school, right?
It was even high school.
Oh, high school, okay.
High school, yeah. And I was watching that, you know, that movie Harold and Maude? You remember that
movie?
Oh, yeah.
Older lady and the younger man.
And she gives him a banjo and tells him, you know, "You got to learn how to play music."
That's right.
So I went to school the next day and told all my guys, I'm like, "Man, I'm going to learn the guitar." And everybody around me was like, "Okay, me too." And we had a band inside 6 months.
You're saying it's because of that movie.
It was because of that movie.
Yeah, okay.
It really was. And because we wanted to be like the Clash. That was what it was all about.
And then that's also hooked up with the Clash. What, like Which one? Joe Strummer or...
Mick Jones. Well, I guess, you know, because what happened was I was the guy who knew all the lyrics to the song, so they made me start singing. And so, you know, I guess I gravitated more to Joe Strummer, but I got respect and love for all those guys.
Even the bass.
Oh, Simonon, man. I love it.
Simonon. I always thought it was Simon.
Is it? I don't know. I always thought it was like Simon
with some other part hooked on. So you guys make a band.
Yeah.
Like what? Like a garage band, right?
Garage band. Real garage band. We played in the bass player, my bass man,
and
Scott.
And what you do? Do you copy Clash songs off the record?
We did. We were lucky on one front. We had this one guy who I'd known since I was two. And he was sort of the musical genius of the whole school, and he was the piano guy. So basically, he could teach us stuff. And the rest of us had no idea what we were doing. So he would be like, okay, no, you do this, and you do this, and he would show me the chords. And, like, you know, he just figured everything out. So Alexander, he was way ahead of the rest of us.
He was the sensei.
Yeah, he was, man. And then we all sort of, you know.
Did this band have a name?
Yeah, we were called First Amendment because we thought that was punk.
Okay. Did you guys ever do gigs, or was it just a prac band?
We did. We played at the school battle of the bands.
Do you remember your first gig?
I do. We didn't have a drummer yet. We had a drum machine, and we played at Alex's parents left town, so we played there, and all the girls came over and stuff.
What do you mean? At a house? It was a band?
At a house, indoors.
Living room. All right.
I remember we played like the Dead Kennedys and the Clash. We had a few of our own songs that weren't very good, and you know
you started writing songs. I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, back in those days, it was more Scott, the bass man. He was writing the songs before I was. I was about 18 when I started figuring out how to write songs. It took me a couple years.
Yeah. But do you remember that first gig? So you're doing a mix of your own songs and some covers.
Oh yeah.
In the living room of your buddy's pet. Were you scared?
Oh yeah, and I remember it's funny. I was just talking to Scott, the same guy. We were just talking about that day because he was really nervous. I remember, and I told him, "Hey, look, man, scared."
You're talking to the bass man.
Bass man, and he's my brother. He's the guy I learned how to play with. He's the guy I played in three bands with him over the years.
Well, what about the piano man?
Piano man, he wasn't maybe as scared because he knows how to play everything.
Right.
But the rest of us, there was Eric, me, and a drum machine, and Alex.
Right.
And then we got a drummer. And his name was
Tim. Now, how would you do the tunes? Like, somebody would fire off the drum machine?
Right. Right. And then we just play along with it, you know, because we didn't have a drummer yet. And
did the drum machine have different pro, or was it the same dealio for each tune?
No, he had it, like, programmed. Alex did all this stuff.
Wow.
He had it all programmed out. And, it, you know, I doubt we stuck with it because we weren't too good. We were just learning. We've been playing for
Well, at least months. The time was pretty good.
Yeah, well, at least the drum machine stayed
That's
on.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like metronome rock.
That's probably the best drummer I ever had, though, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, what about this song, Spine?
Oh, yeah, from the first record.
What about it?
Well, you know, that song was all about... So all the songs in the record, they started with Thyroid. That was the first one. It's funny that you picked that. That was the first one that had the body.
That's where I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah, and that was about my buddy Rob, who played with me for 3 years in college in a band that, you know, while we were... at UCLA, and he had to have his thyroid out, so I wrote a song for him. And then the new drummer, you know, for the band, Tom, who's been with me the whole time, he started naming these songs before I had lyrics. He's like, okay, this one's called, he just started naming them at body parts. So he said, okay, this one's Spine, and then I'd have to write a song about, okay, what's your spine? It's about being upright. It's about holding it together. It's about, you know, so every song,
Kolya's band in Belgrade, Disciplina Kičma. Well, let's listen.
Okay.
This is my last wish that I, from the storm and drank a priesthood to the life below the gutter, do solemnly swear to die. Not as piecemeal, but as driftwood, with no more words to utter, knowing why and how and when, with the hoary head of falsehood nailed firmly to the wall. Solemnly swear to die, not as piecemeal, but as driftwood, with no more words to utter, knowing why and how and when, with the hoary head of falsehood nailed firmly to the walk.
ានរបស់បងរបស់បងមេគុំបើមេ
at the Kitty. That was kind of cool to hear it done by different people.
The Watt for Pedro show? You're talking about that's not really Minutemen, though. That's songs I wrote for those guys, because Minutemen was about Dee Boone and Georgie.
Right.
Not just Watt songs. Right. I play some of these songs I wrote for those guys in those old days, actually for a couple reasons right now. But one of them is, it's kind of trippy in the context of my music journey. But it's not trying to be Minuteman.
It's cool for me to hear, since I never got to see. I mean,
it's a lot different. George Hurley, Dee Boone.
Yeah.
Besides their compositions, the way they play. And my guys today, they got their own style. So
Yep. Hopefully
it don't sound like some kind of cover trip or something.
We had fun at that show.
We heard Spine with Chinese Herbal Medicine, Dagger Mop with Backbone. We're going to play with it. I'm now going on tour with the Italian guys in a few weeks. And Il Sogno di Marinaio, the next song, Pedro to Bologna. And we're going to play with Dagger Moth in Bologna. And Lemmy Kittens after that. I found my own Lemmy Kitten record collection and playing that. Petra Hayden with the acapella River's Edge thing. Well, Petra, I think her sellout thing got reissued. You know about that, where she did all of...
Yeah, The Hoop. Yeah, it's great. I like that. Out,
acapella. She got to chow with Pete Townsend. He dug it. He said Roger didn't, though.
Man, her dad was
finally
awesome.
Gigi... Yeah, he's righteous. My righteous man, a bass man also. Gigi band finally with Mekong Mermaids out of Oaktown. So back to your story.
Yeah.
You guys, just out of high school, it sounds like, and you're playing... house parties and stuff.
In high school, yeah. And then most of those guys turned into my college band, which was the
Yeah, you start band. Going to college.
And we got together after the first year, music. First summer, we got back together and started a new band up with a new drummer and two of the guys from the high school band, and then that stuck around for years. You know, that was my main band for my whole...
And what was that? Was that still First Amendment?
No, that was Beathead. And, you know, I gave you a demo tape, I remember. When you played at UCLA, I remember giving you a demo tape, and I remember Ed from Ohio making fun of me and saying we were called Butthead.
Okay, it's a cartoon.
I don't know what. No, just before
cartoon
that.
Went and did one of those. I think my piss bottle man.
Yeah.
And the guy kept calling me Mike Hunt. Ha ha. I guess he's a nice guy, Mike King. Dallas Kent.
Mike Judge.
Judge, that's it.
Yeah.
Mike King is the guy who painted the first Wipers album cover. We got to conk in his pen. I saw the actual painting.
Wow.
That's where it struck me. Wow, wipers. Yeah, windshield wipers. I never thought of that.
That's what it was all about, yeah.
Anyway, yes. Go on with your story about B-Dad.
Well, B-Dad was cool. B-Dad was where, you know, it was me and Scott.
No,
Alex,
I mean, do you develop it? Do you take it further? Do you write more of your own songs? Do you guys record?
That's when it was. We'd always throw in a cover at every show.
No, that's okay. But
that's when we started really.
I mean, compared to high school, after high school, you're in college now. Are you trying to record this stuff? Are you trying to get more of a sound of your own?
We recorded it on four tracks in warehouses and people's houses.
Okay.
And, you know, all super econo.
That's
no
okay.
Money. And
still, you document it. You try. What'd you do? Like put out cassettes or vinyls?
Yeah, cassettes.
Yeah, right, right.
And
we're talking 90s.
KXLU would play us.
We're talking 90s, right?
That's late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
KXLU used to play us, and we.
So it was still kind of expensive to do singles. So cassettes was more econo.
It was super econo. Yeah. We would buy them in bulk, those like industrial ones.
What about when you were learning about the scene? Was it shit like mixtapes important? Your buddies would turn you on to new bands by making cassettes.
That, you know, that was...
No, I'm just saying that that's a part of the culture we kind of miss.
Oh, tapes, yeah. You know,
mixtapes.
Well,
you take your favorites and put them together. They give you a tape of their favorite.
Yes.
It's like her own compilations, right?
But the kids do it. Like, I got a daughter who's 13. And,
yeah.
And what they do now is they do that on, like...
They do playlists.
They do playlists, that's
yeah,
right. It's almost the same thing, but it's not quite as intimate. You remember you'd like a girl and you'd make her a tape and
yeah, of course.
Throw in some messages and you'd throw it at her. And, yeah.
A little different than a playlist, yeah.
It's different than a playlist, but that's what they do now.
But the playlist could come on a movie.
That's
like, you know, things change. It's all right. I'm not trying to sound like some old man yelling at fast trains.
Right. But tapes were cool. They sounded crappy and they broke and everything and you had to rewind them, but they were cool. There was something cool about tapes.
Yeah, it was a way of turning people on to other stuff. Okay, so... How far out does B-Dad go?
B-Dad went until the end of 91 or something like that. Like right around when I finished, 92, right when I finished school.
Okay.
And we finally split it up, and that was a sad time. And then I moved to San Francisco and started over.
Okay. Okay.
We're just
what
there, right at bottom of the hill, which is my favorite club.
And what was that?
Well, oh, that band.
Surprise.
I had a band called I was in two bands. I had a band called The Flu. Which never really got anywhere and maybe wasn't the best band I was ever in, but they were my buddies. And then I was in this great band where I was the sideman. The only time I ever did it, I was in this band called Budakowski. It was like half Buddha and half Bukowski. And,
What do you mean by half Buddha, half Bukowski?
Well, because it was like, you know, fighting and drinking and then also like looking for the spiritual enlightenment at the same time.
Okay.
That was the idea of the music. And we had a cello player, two guitars, and that
Who
was
the leader?
This guy, Matt Langlois, who's still running around San Francisco doing all this stuff with dance projects and making music. And he's not making rock and roll so much anymore, but he's still making music. And he's pretty
great.
That's
great. Still a creative force.
Very creative. And his wife.
Being a side mouse, this helped you, right?
It did.
I think it's good to try all kinds of roles. You know, life is kind of about taking turns.
And I learned it in that band. Because I had never done it before. And for two, three years, I was the side guy and learned how to be that guy and be supportive. And I think it helped me learn how to...
Ask people to take your direction.
That's right. And be nice, right? Be nice. And don't tell people what to do. And
ask them to do.
That's right. Give them some space and let them play their own instrument.
That's what my pop told me in the Navy once. Because he's a chief. You know, a chief's like a sergeant.
Mm.
One time I was young and I asked him... Well, what do you do? And he go, well, I kick the ass. He said, put it this way, I've never asked anybody to do anything.
Right.
So, what happened after the side mouse period?
Well, after that...
You leave San Francisco.
I got married, and I went up to Portland, Oregon. And I started a new thing called Mission to Mars, and I did that for years.
This is a music project.
And it was a band with different people. And that's when Scott, the bass man... who I hadn't played with since college, this is 10 years later, we rejoined forces for a while, and it was beautiful. And we played together, and it was like we had ESP still, and it was beautiful, man. And we did that, but then he decided no more music, and he went on, he's like a plant guru up there. He, like, knows more about the plants and what they're all about than anybody else.
Horticulture.
horticulture, but like medicine and all that. And he's a pretty brilliant guy with all this new stuff that he's doing. And so then I played with different people, and so for 4 or 5 years I had this thing called Mission to Mars. I made one solo record. It was called PJ Golden. And then we decided we couldn't make a living and I quit. And this is the interesting part. I quit music.
You quit your own band?
I quit playing music.
Oh, okay.
At 35, for 3 years, I decided I couldn't do it anymore because I was getting frustrated with not having the right people to play with and no one seeming to give a shit and, like, excuse my language. And I just, I quit for 3 years, and then I came back to L.A. and I hooked up with this guy, Tom, who I met through Matt, the guy from Budakowski. And Tom and I, this is 4 years ago now, after I'd quit for a while, we hit it right off music-wise. And I just got back into it. And
okay, let's hold it there because we're at the end of the first hour of the September 1, 2016 edition of Pedro Show. Guest Philip Golden from Chinese Herbal Medicine, Wild Type for Hour 2. September 1, 2016, it's the second hour of the Wild for Pedro Show.
course, once again, I can be your friend. Take you to a better time, take you to a better land. You can hold the questions, you got all the answers. You can be the wise one, taking up the chance. I know you, you know me. Keeping it tight, yeah, keep the family. Gotta change roads, but I know that it's a tough one. Riding on the same path ain't even an option. I know it's on. Will soon be done. I know it's on. Don't try to take a song. Once again, I can be your friend. Take you to a better time, take you to a better land. You can hold the questions, we got all the answers. You can be the wise one, taking up the chance. I know you, you know me. Keeping it tight, yeah, keep the family. Gotta change roads, but I know that it's a tough one. Riding on the same path ain't even an option. I know it's on.
Curly ears in Cuban heels, over friendly with their feels, metrosexuals and plucked eyebrows. Would they ever keep their vow? Would you give a home to a boy like me? I could live in a home with a girl like you. It might be a man-made fantasy, but would you give a home to a boy like me? Boy like me. Vagabond, a malcontent. They would never pay their rent. Lay about. We all know that they're just that. So would you give a home to a boy like me? I could live in a home with a girl like you. It might be a man-made fantasy, but would you give a home to a boy like me?
Joey Ramone in a Circle K one summer night in Phoenix, Arizona. It was across the street from a record store that I worked in at the time. Despite it being July in Phoenix, he was wearing a leather jacket, and despite it being 9 p.m., he was wearing sunglasses. He looked like some strange photosynthetic vampire, but it didn't put me off a bit as I approached him and thanked him for the inspiration to ruin my life. He was obliging and personable, though he didn't quite know how to take the compliment. He was happy to talk to me. Our conversation went from free jazz to hard bop to ragtime, and he seemed happy to be talking to a fan of music, maybe more than just a fan of the Ramones. At one point, I asked him what he thought about a series of bands that had been covering entire Ramones records. Tributes, I guess. He had no idea this was happening and couldn't believe that someone would do that. So I invited him to come over to the store and kind of take a look. And earlier that week, Boris the Sprinkler had just put out Into the Century. And he sat looking at it, just flipping over and over and over and over from front to back, from front to back, from front to back. And he kind of slid his sunglasses down from his nose a little bit to make eye contact for the first time. And he said, "Now, do you think that these bands are doing this because they are mad at the Ramones or because they like the Ramones?" I was impressed that he referred to his band in the third person, and I tried to assure him that these bands were all operating out of pure, unabashed love for the Ramones, which he seemed to be comforted by. Since he'd never even heard of these records, the universe called upon me to exact justice and at least give him a copy. With one condition. I told him I was happy to buy the record for him, but he had to autograph it. And without flinching to the irony, he said,
"Can I use this marker?"
And he happily autographed what would be his own copy of Boris the Sprinkler's End of the Century, which he then put under his arm to take with him. He shook my hand and said thank you and parted ways. And that's the day I met Joey Ramone.
Watt from Pedro Show. We started the second hour off with Spleen. Philip, tell us about Spleen.
Spleen, well, you know, from the first record. So all the process was Tom would hear some music, Tom the drummer. He'd give me a part. So this one's Spleen. So this is how the whole Chinese herbal medicine, we used to be called Thunder Lizard at first. And then we started making all these body parts.
Yeah, get back to the story we ended the first hour off with. You leave Portland.
Oh, yeah.
And come back to California and reunite with Scott. Scott stayed up there.
Yeah.
With Tom,
yeah. The drummer.
And you guys, after a period of 3 years of making no music, you start making music again.
I did.
And you're called Thunder Lizard.
We were called Thunder Lizard, right. And Tom and I played with a number of different guys, bass players mostly, came and gone. Some good ones. Zach played on the first record. He was quite good. And we had a friend, Ian, from San Francisco, who had been in a kind of big band up there for a while. He played some bass. But we couldn't hang on to a lineup. But, man, it was fun because our whole MO now, since we're a little bit older and everything, is we don't care about
selling.
No, it's all just for music. It's no commerce.
Right.
You know? And it made it so much more enjoyable for me and made it so I could unquit and be happy again and just kick ass and play music, and it's been great.
And so Spleen was like a splurge into that?
Yeah, Spleen is all about it's all about growth and it's like, you know, this. So Scott, my old bass man, now that he's the herbal guy, he told me, I'm like, what does the spleen do? And he told me, like, the spiritual aspects of the spleen. The spleen is about the grass growing up through the concrete, is what he told me. So I wrote a song about that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Then we heard the Higham Flyers with It's On, Zigzag's Meat Man. Space, they got a brand new album. The Boy Like Me, Bob Schreiner. This might have been live at the Redwood Bar and Grill, Joey Ramone. The Mellow Men from Croatia with Our Way. Actually, bass band's from Vis, which is an island off the Dalmatian coast there where a lot of the Pedro Hrvatskis are from. And finally, Death Hymn number 9, I Reckon You're Gonna Die. That's got Paul Gonzalez out of Pedro here. Playing with some Orange County guys. So things like that do happen. Back with Philip Golden here and his musical journey. We're talking about the beginnings of Chinese herbal medicine. So when does the name get switched over?
It was right before we decided to make that record. Tom comes to practice one day, he's like, We gotta have a new name. And I let him name things. Whatever he says the name is, that's what goes, because that's been working for us, right? So he's like, we're going to switch to Chinese herbal medicine because, you know, we're making this whole record of body parts. I'm like, okay, I'm in. So
really, because the body parts related to the medicine. Because there's a different medicine for each part, or?
Medicine, but also metaphors, like, you know.
Metaphor, of course.
It's metaphors. Everything, it's just about a, you know, like, when you're talking about the corpus callosum, which you played one time, I think, on your show, that's the part that splits the brain down the middle, the left and right hemisphere.
That's right.
And I wrote a song about the blue states and the red states being two different countries. You know, so it's all like that. It's metaphors about.
You ever been, because you lived for some years in San Francisco, you ever been in Chinatown on the weekend?
Sure.
I mean, it's a hustle, right?
I went there for medicine once.
Actually. Yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about. The medicine stores, those smells, they're a trip, huh?
They don't smell so exotic. In your normal life.
Yeah. They're the most singular, trippy smell.
I agree.
Trippy. There's a dryness, there's a strength, a pungent.
Very strong.
But it ain't foul. You know,
no.
In a way, yeah, it feels like an energy, it feels like a force.
But they taste horrible going down.
I can imagine. I ain't never chowed them. They're like dried up mushrooms and roots and shit. Yeah.
Yes. Strong.
I can imagine. But just the smell, man. I mean, just that feel.
Yeah, I love it.
Going by them pads.
And
okay, so Tom says, since we're doing music about the body, let's go for Chinese herbal medicine. And you go a Thunder Lizard.
Yeah, that's what we decided to do. And I like Thunder Lizard. I thought that was a cool name because we play in we're about to lose our practice space, but it's a warehouse full of animatronic dinosaurs and stuff. That's where we practice.
What's that about?
Well, Tom, he runs this company that they rent them out to museums all around the world, right? So we've got these big, like, sometimes when they're home.
Oh, they need some kind of dynamic display exhibition.
Right, so that's what we've been playing. We even used them for baffles on our records, because we recorded in that space too, big old warehouse, and so that's why we were Thunder Lizard, right? Because that's what Brontosaurus means in Greek. and then
yeah, which they fucked up because they're not really
right.
Lizards are more like birds, chickens. You look
there's
at the
also
legs.
No brontosaurus, right? There's only a potosaurus.
No, but notice the legs come out from the bottom like an elephant. They don't come out the side like an alligator.
Yeah, and they're not slow and they're not cold-blooded.
You know? Yeah, yeah. That saurus was kind of a whoops.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
What about this half of you?
Half of you is about my daughter.
I thought all these tunes were about parts of the body.
Oh, no, but see, half of you is on the next record. Half of you.
Okay. Different context. Okay.
That's a whole other story.
Okay. So talk a little bit about
that one. Well, you know.
Well, it's from this other album.
It's from Binary, right.
Which is the second album.
The one we made.
And what was like the premise of that, baby?
That is a story about the binary nature of the universe, and it starts out with a song you played about a guy who sees an old friend and everything goes to hell, and he notices that the world is split into two, and then the whole rest of the record is so light versus dark, heaven versus hell, it's all that kind of stuff, and so it's all about binary.
Dangling duality.
Duality, right? Taoism, and my daughter. It's a song that one half of you is about a song about me and my wife and how we came together, two halves, made this new thing that's part me and part her. That's what that's kind of about.
Well, let's listen right now.
All right.
perspective. We talk all night in modern language. For you it's time to be anguished. Go now.
Texas City. He was 72. Came to put over the son of a friend. That's just what he did do. Job caused him a symphony of pain. Sputnik never complained. Never got back in the ring again. Sputnik Monroe at carnivals and fairs learned how to shoot and hook. He once punched a horse to spike a few bets. Spent the night in the jailhouse with no regrets. Sold out the band shell like only Elvis could do. Sputnik got shorted his pay, packed his bags and went on his way. Sputnik Monroe was just making a buck, a poor country boy with no schooling or luck. Playing the heel every night in the ring. The crowd in the balcony, he made them ring down. It broke every rule in old Memphis town. So say what you will about Sputnik Monroe. He took a big bite out of Jim Crow. Say what you will about Sputnik Monroe. He took a big bite out of Jim Crow. The miles, the pain, the dew. Thousands of headlocks, body slams and chair shots buried beneath all the booze. He kissed Norvell Austin to make a point. Sell a few tickets, pop the roof off the joint. Sometimes a man has nothing to lose. Sputnik Monroe was just making a buck, a poor country boy with no schooling or luck. Playing the heel every night in the ring. The crowd in the balcony, he made them ring down. It broke every rule in old Memphis town. So say what you will about Sputnik Monroe, he took a big bite out of Jim Crow. Say what you will about Sputnik Monroe, he took a big bite out of Jim Crow.
For Pedro Show. Yeah, started off with Half You. You heard the story there, Philip. 1 + 1 = 3.
Right.
Tricky math. Postcards from Jeff after that with Modern Language. What I Know, Psychic Temple. Sputnik Monroe from Dick Deluxe. And We Must Try, King Champion Sounds. Finally, Alfred. No, King Alfred, Man of Leisure. With Watching Me. Yeah, the best rock and roll name band ever. King Alfred Man of Leisure.
That's good.
It's got to be from England.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Actually, there was a band from, I think, maybe Santa Monica. They were called Entertainment Law. I thought that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, I knew a guy who wanted to have a band in L.A. back in the everyone getting signed days called Major Label Interest. I always thought that was pretty funny.
Militant Street Cred.
Yeah, that's good too.
Let's talk about band names.
Do it all day.
No. I want to get on to the story of the herbal Chinese medicine. So, do you remember the first gig you did under that name?
Sure, because we haven't played too many. We've only done 6-7 shows in 2 years.
No, but you did a lot of Thunder Lizard before that.
But not gigs, just playing.
Thunder Lizard never did a gig.
We did two.
Tell me about them.
The first time, let's see. So the first one we played was one of those kind of Hollywood corporate, you know, like they add you to the bill, and there's five bands, and no one knows who each other are. And it was at the Mint.
And
you know that place, right?
On Pico.
Yeah, and you know, it's okay place, but I really, at this point in my life, I like to play parties and low-key situations at a bar. I don't really like playing where you're like, okay, you get on at this minute, you get off at this minute, and there's this many people at the door, and you get all that stuff. You know, I don't want to deal with all that stuff, but it was that kind of a show. But we did fine. We were a trio still.
Oh, you mean there's like a lot of regiment.
A lot of regiment. And that's the way a lot of the Hollywood clubs are. You know, it's not like the old days at the anti-club, I'll tell you that. It's not.
But if you're going on last, you're probably glad there is some.
Yeah, that's right. So,
especially on a Tuesday or something.
We did that show, and that was cool. We did two shows with Zach.
What was the other one?
And then we added Warwick. Who's the,
You mean besides changing the name, there's a different dude in the band?
Well, there's two. There's a new bass player. That's Andrew.
Okay, because, so when Thunder Lizard ends...
Yeah.
Then Andrew comes in.
Andrew came in and played, and he's playing bass. And then we also brought in Warwick, who's our brother from Australia.
So you come from trio to quartet.
Which I like better. And he sings some of the songs on the new record. Two of them he wrote and sang.
Does he play?
He plays lead. He's a player.
Guitarist. Okay, so now you got two guitars. Videos I was watching, you cats were a trio.
The live, yeah, and actually we do have a rock video, which I had never made before in my whole life.
Because FM.
And it's there, it's for, it's for
FM, first
right?
I thought it was the Dan song.
FM, yeah, which actually means,
I don't like it. By that time I didn't like the Dan.
Yeah.
I think Black Cow was the last.
Yeah.
For what, Alpha Asia or something.
Yeah. So we, yeah, so there's four of us, and it's cool because
I know
really
those
like,
first six Dan records pretty good though.
I gotta brush up, man.
Georgie was way into it. We had to hear so much of that shit out.
Really, I gotta catch up.
Yeah, they were the cassettes where they'd have like two albums of cassette. You know.
Where is George these days?
He's back in Pedro.
Does he play at all?
Yeah. He's been well, you know, some local blues guys and stuff. It's not like he's touring and playing again, but he does music. Plays, like I said, mainly the blues. He's playing with Shane O'Brien. Who's an iron worker in Field Monroe, who plays cards.
Plays cards.
Yeah, something Gardena. Yeah, where they got poker.
Yeah.
Man, how would you like to do that for a living?
I'm no good at it. Yeah. I lose all my money.
No, it wouldn't be very fun for what?
No.
And,
man, I'd like to
but look, he's surfing every day. He's in great shape. He looked in great shape, man. And he's back in, he was in Carson for a little while taking care of his mom, and now he's in Pedro.
Cool.
And it's so good to see him. He's driving trucks down Terminal Island. And, there's not like George Hurley. Incredible. Oh. I got 14 years I got to play with that man.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So back to the Chinese herbal medicine story. So do you remember the first gig as that name?
Let's see, the first gig as Chinese herbal medicine, let's see. I do, and I'm trying to think of which one it was. We played at this. I'm gonna forget the name now. There's a bar out in. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name, but it's out in Burbank.
Okay, it's a Valley Bar.
it's just a dive bar. Our friends, we got a Clock Paw, and they set up a show, and there was three bands, and the place was packed because it's a small little bar, and it was just our speed. It was great. We just had a great time. And we played at a place called The Trip. That's what it was. A Trip. With The Trip's in Santa Monica. And they gave us a whole afternoon. So we did all the songs from both records for 2 hours we played.
Wow. So right. In daytime.
It was a daytime show. And that was fun because a lot of my old buds came out. They hadn't seen me play in a long time. And that was the first time we played as all four of us as Chinese herbal medicine. Yep.
Okay.
That was it. That was a year ago.
Right. And this is the lineup that went in to do the Binary?
Yeah, we did. But we recorded Binary in our practice space.
Right.
Our friend Tucker came out with all his gear, and we just...
Oh, you had a buddy do it. So he used your prac pad, but he brought in stuff.
Yeah, and we just...
And how long did it take to do it?
Yeah, we did two afternoons, hot as hell, in the valley, 110 degrees.
Yeah.
2 days in the warehouse, and then we did maybe 2 or 3 days of just coming over to his apartment. In East Hollywood and just singing and stuff like that. Not a lot of overdubs, mostly all live, some though. And, stuff like keyboards and things and mixed it down. I don't know. You know, it took...
Who plays the keyboards?
I did and worked it.
Okay, so you learned keyboards too then?
I can play a little. I used to be better than I am now. I'm a hack, but I can play a melody.
Okay.
Chords are a challenge. But I can do it, but it takes a lot of thinking. I just can't do it without
you
thinking.
You good with the left hand, right hand thing?
You know, speaking of, I play left hand guitar, so
yeah.
And so the piano is very confusing.
You restrain it?
No, I play a left handed guitar. Play a left handed guitar. So
you still
I,
got the heavy string on the top.
Yeah, I don't play like Dick Dale. I play like Jimi Hendrix, right? So, except I can't play like Jimi Hendrix. That's not what I meant. But you know, but I play it, and so the piano is backwards, right? As you
wow, going back when you were young.
Yeah.
Did you get a left handed guitar?
I took a my Alex had an acoustic guitar, Alexander from the first band, and he gave it to me, and I picked it up backwards, and I'm like, and he's like, that's not the way it goes, and I'm like, oh, that's the way I play. So he took it all apart and strung it the other way for me, and I played an upside down acoustic guitar, a right hand guitar strung up left hand.
So the pick guard was upside down.
Worst choice I ever made because you never play other.
Kay thought like the strong hand was supposed to be. your picking hand.
Yeah, but you know, like, you know, did you know that Jimi Hendrix is right-handed also? I'm right-handed. So was Jimi Hendrix. Using the talented hand on the fret.
Yeah, well,
note.
Kay thought that was supposed to be the strong hand, the picking hand.
It's interesting.
I mean, I'm not picking hand, the fretting hand. I'm fretting. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the way I do it. No one else does.
And, wherever it goes. Anyway, we're at the end of the second hour.
Okay.
September 1st, 2016 edition of the Watford Peter Show, Philip Golden, Chinese Herbal Medicine. Hold tight for hour three. September 1st, 2016, it's the third hour of the Watt Pete Rose Show.
Yes, say that you were, say that you are, say that you will. Yes, say that you were, say that you are. Thank you.
vidi taki rostok pusti.
Show.
Watt for Pedro show. Start the third hour off. Bones, Chinese herbal medicine. Phillip's got something to say about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just that one. I started messing around with a delay pedal for the first time in my life, and you can really hear it. It kind of changed the way I played on that, and it was fun to mix it up, try something new. I like delay now.
No, but remember all these body fucking songs had a fucking...
Oh, you like that?
Metaphor,
oh, yeah,
story,
Bones, okay.
Allegory.
So Bones is just about...
Right, your drummer man threw you out of body part.
Yeah, and this one was Bones. And Bones, I went back to the herb man, Scotty, the old bass man, and I said, what's it about? And he said, it's about memory, and it's about persistence. So, you know, so that song's all about, it's all about being the same person over time. And
the persistence of memory. Is that that drippy clock?
The persistence, yeah, you're right.
It's the drippy clock.
Dolly. Yeah, you're right.
Salvador Dali.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We then heard Tollum doing... And move it, and move to transform it. He's up for Pacifica, probably on tour now. Sticks, the Sticks, not one of the greatest bands ever. Well, I'm wrong. Then we heard Zakpa. This band was 60s, out of Czech. Plastic People of the Universe. Incredibly brave cats who have to take major blows to try to get some jams. All the gigs secret, you know. A layman after that with The Thing You Want. And finally, I know these guys are on tour right now. Toys That Kill with Times We Can't Let Go. Todd Conge from Recess Records. He's living in San Pedro now. I know it's like 20, 25 years from Torrance. And back with Philip talking about Chinese herbal medicine and how they got their binary thing going, and so some more experimenting, the digital.
That's right.
But that was from the first record. So what kind of chances? The chance you took on binary was the conceptual thing, the trying to unite that it into one piece.
One piece. I'd done it 10 years earlier, but I wanted to do it again. Write a story.
What was that one 10 years before?
Oh, that one was when I decided I was going to quit. I made a record all about how did these impossible goals that I can never live up to, how did they happen? Where did this come from? You know, like, is it DNA versus nurture versus nature? And it was all my big story about how I was going to retire. And it was a whole piece about life, about my life as a musician and how I thought it was ending.
Yeah.
And how I was getting over all the... beat yourself up about, you know, oh, my band never got signed, I never got to tour Europe, you know, like that kind of crap. That doesn't matter. That's what that was all about. But this new one, you know, I needed a story because that's what seems to light my fire for singing now. I mean, I'm sorry, for writing. I need a story. So I called up, I went back to the well, I went to the basement, I went to Scotty.
Yeah.
I said, I need a story. And he said, okay, how about a story about a guy who's trying to escape from how everything in the world is just digital and wants to go back to an analog world. And I'm like, so that was my starting place. And I wrote some songs with that, and then it changed into digital, fragmented, binary. You know, that's the whole story.
Pixelated.
It all grew out from there.
Interesting.
Light and dark.
Yes. Speaking of which, I found a little fragment of some gig you guys did. Maybe some pad called Jimmy's or Johnny's or...
Jimmy's.
It's called Heaven and Hell.
Yes.
And it says
Jimmy's
the outro.
Burbank. That's the Burbank spot.
Is that that's the pad you play in Burbank?
That's Burbank.
Okay, let's listen to this bit. Peter Show, final music for this edition. We got Chinese Herbal Medicine Live with Heaven / Hell, the outro.
Yeah, and, noisy stuff.
Dark was the night, cold was the ground, Stefano Palia from El Sonido de Marinello. The pop group Age of Miracles, and finally piece number two, gig, Motoko Honda, Joe Berardi, and Emily Hay did October 2nd, 2008. There's a we're going to hear the story here now. Philip's going to turn us on to
Heaven/Hell
in scope of the whole big piece.
Yeah, so it was the first song is the song about the first song on the record is the song all about ones and zeros. It's about meeting this guy you haven't seen forever, that something went really wrong between the two of you 10 years ago, and he needs to talk to you now. And and these revelations about the binary nature of the of life come out of it. Heaven Hell is the story about what went wrong in Mexico 10 years ago, and it's just a story about being down there and living on ditch weed and rotten bananas with this guy who's a junkie and he's trying to hide it from you. And it's just a story about living in paradise, but it's hell. It's heaven hell. That's what it's all about. And I play the guitar as fast as I can at the end and make a lot of noise, which I love doing. It was fun.
But in scope of the rest of the piece,
yeah, you know, the whole piece as a whole, it's a story, but it's a loose story, you know, about having this revelation about.
Yeah, it was the heaven hell was the moment that made things kind of change.
The first song, Ones and Zeros, Heaven Hell is like the backstory. This is
right,
the
right.
Now between you and your buddy years ago. It was the catalyst. Everything changes in ones and zeros.
Right.
That's when it all changes. And it's just
so it comes some kind of reconcile. I wonder how it all ends up.
I don't know if it ever actually reconciles.
It doesn't. Okay.
It does end in that, I don't know if you heard it, the last song is this very quiet, pretty...
Say its title.
It's the reprise of... of course, I'm blanking the name of my own song. There's two songs. We do the same song twice. We do it, and then we do it a reprise at the end.
Yeah, in a way, by doing that, you're suggesting infinity, right?
Because that's
the way Finnegan's Wake is. It ends with the same line it starts with, the Liffey, the river running.
You made it all the way through that? I tried. I couldn't do it. It's too hard for me. It was over my head. That's a tough book. I appreciate
it. A lot of the words.
That's a tough one.
I have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about this technique that he uses by starting and finishing with the same thing. It gives a sense of infinity. I've done this before.
What'd you do it on?
Well, I start, if you listen to the Engine Room.
That's true, yep.
The only thing is there's notes missing in the reprise.
Bass. The bo-do-boom, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, but there's no boo-doo-doo-doo.
Right.
There's no answer at the end because D. Boone's gone.
Right.
Shore duty.
Yeah.
I know what you mean about music can be very heavy and personal, man. It came to a point where I couldn't even do that piece in front of people anymore because it hurt too much.
I saw you do it in San Francisco the night with the wrestlers. You remember
that?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I was there.
I did it four times. On four tours.
Yeah.
Four times.
A lot of times.
Did it four tours.
I didn't see it with Nels.
One tour was with Joe Baeza.
It was with Joe
Hodges. And two tours with Joe Baeza and Bob Lee. And then the fourth tour, Nels Klein, Bob Lee.
Yeah.
You know, what if something like your daughter asked you for advice about music? You already kind of hit on it, but
she's playing now. She's trying to put a band together. She's saying...
Yeah, so does she ever ask, hey, Pop, you've been doing this a long time. What can you tell me?
Yeah, mostly she doesn't want to hear anything I have to say, you know, because she's a teenager. But what I tell her is...
But if she did.
Yeah, if she did. That's a better way to ask it.
Yeah.
Don't take it so serious. That was when I stopped enjoying it and why I had to quit. It was taking it too serious, right? And just have fun and make music. And also, the other main thing is make sure you play with people who you like. You want to be, because you're going to spend a lot of time.
People chemistry is important.
I played with some people that I didn't like as much as other people, and that kind of dragged me down. And you can't connect with them, you know? And so...
Right, like if the part's kind of difficult, you can practice and practice. But personality things, practice probably don't help that.
And there's that beautiful ESP thing that happens with the people that you really know who they are, and it just happens.
Yeah, I understand. I know what you mean.
You know it.
That's
yeah.
good advice. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you. Good luck with the Chinese herbal medicine and music.
Thanks.
Your daughter, too.
Okay.
It's been September 1st, 2016 edition of Watt for Pedro Show, people. Keep your powder dry.